Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We are not a ref-friendly podcast. This is the Hoops Health Advisors podcast, and I'm your host, Ruben Tomas, a.k.a. Reddit Mavericks. Today, I know Don is out doing something. Squish is also out doing something. So today, I have my good friend, Bryce Patrick. How you doing, Bryce?
Oh, I'm doing much better now that the Mavs won that game. I was really worried. That was turning into a hot mess real quick. It went from, oh, this is pretty good, to hot mess, to, all right, this is fine.
Yeah. You know, and again, guys, so usually we record in the mornings on Sunday. My wife was out of town, so it was just me and the baby. So, you know, needed to change that recording time. Otherwise, you'd hear my son whine on the mic all the time. So, recording after the game today. Good game. We'll get to it in a little bit.
I'm also babysitting, and I'm hoping that my baby is quiet. My parents are in Corpus helping my brother paint his new house, and I have Lily here, and she's just sitting being very quiet on the couch. So hopefully
I did see that on Instagram that. Actually,
yeah, she's being a good dog.
I saw Lily on Instagram, and I saw Bobby Corrala sending me Mavs Man propaganda.
Oh gosh,
just terrible. Yeah, I tweeted about that, and hopefully everybody bugs Bobby on Twitter on Facebook on Instagram now. So looking at this week's games, normally we don't include the Sunday game because, again, we record late, but I guess technically it's a four-game slate. The games I thought we were going to lose, we didn't. And the games I thought we were going to win, we didn't. really weird week. So first, you know, losing against Orlando, 110-108. Terrible. Just terrible. Just looking at the stats, you know, like, Maxey had a terrible game. You know, Reggie Bullock had a terrible game. I don't know if you can hear my son, but he's crying at these because he knows I'm talking about this game. He was crying during it too. Whenever we're watching this live, adoring terrible game. Though he had hit 3 for 6 from the three, which is nice. Just overall annoying. I think it's one of those games. I know it's very stereotypical, but like just being like, oh, the Magic just wanted it more. You know, it's like, it's just one of those games. I felt like this was, it was just like, it was terrible. Cause that team is not good. You know?
No, they're not good. They are well coached though. Like just seeing Jamal Mosley on the other sideline. And like, I still have my qualms with Jason Kidd. Obviously he's done a good job. I did not think he would learn this much of how to coach a good defense in 1 year or however long. Was it 2 years under Frank Vogel?
I think it was two, I think.
Okay. Well, a short time under Frank Vogel. Whatever he learned, I mean, obviously I don't think they're like a top three defense like they've been playing for the last like month and a half. Well, obviously not in this game against Orlando or in the other game that they lost against the Thunder. But like, I think the defense is legit. They're legit top 10 defensive team in the NBA, and that's great. But I still want Mosley. Like I still think not even considering him was a mistake. But you know, it's one that unfortunately we had to move on against. But this is a really good game from Marquese Chriss. Marquese Chriss put up 14 points in this one. He also had 4 steals and 2 blocks. Like this guy was really active. He was a +5 in this game. If you want to put any oomph into that, but 6 of 10 from the floor, like pretty solid game. Josh Green, also another solid game, 4 of 6 from the field. Perfect, 2 from 2 from behind the line, 11 points. Really did exactly what he does. 3 assists. I feel like he played very well in this game and was the only energy the Mavs were really getting off the bench. I mean, they only had 3 guys actually play big minutes off the bench, and Bullock, Chris and Green, Burke and Neil Aquino played under 5 minutes each. So this is a pretty short rotation kind of a game.
Yeah. I mean, you know, game was weird. I will say that it's easier to replace coaches than it is to replace all-star level talent. So we'll see how that goes. Moving True. On, OKC versus, you know, OKC, we lose another terrible team, 120-114. That went to overtime, which was very annoying. Just for myself, like, I think the game started, around like 7:30, you know, 8:30, whatever, and it was just annoying to see games like that go to overtime, especially, again, a terrible team missing their best player in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And then, like, obviously Luke Dort's great, you know. Not usually an offensive threat the way he was in this game.
He's an offensive threat. He's not an offensive, like, point man. He's not the entirety of your offense. He was their leading scorer. He and Terrence Mann just shot like crazy in this game. I mean, both of them hit 6 threes. Dort was 6 of 10. Mann was 6 of 8. Dort was perfect 6 from 6 from the line. Mann was 7 of 8. Like, these guys were just ridiculous in this game, shooting the absolute lights out. Josh Giddey had a great game, a double-double in this one, was 3 rebounds away from a triple-double. Fairly efficient, didn't make any of his 3 attempts from 3, but like, they just shot really well. I mean, they shot 84% from the line on 25 attempts. They hit 17 of 37 threes at 46%, and the Mavs just could not keep up with that. I mean, the Mavs have been shooting much better from the free throw stripe, I feel like, lately. They were 8 of 10 in this game, but they were just 14 of 43 on three-point attempts, and that really was honestly the difference in this game. The Mavs just were not able to hit their threes. I mean, Maxey was 2 of 6. I mean, Dorian was 1 of 5. Luka had a pretty solid game of 5 from 13, and same with Reggie Bullock, who's been shooting much better as of late. It started the season off really horribly from behind the line, but yeah, those over on three-pointers from Jalen Brunson in this one. This is just not a great game, but it kind of felt like an outlier. Like, it wasn't like a, oh my gosh, this team sucks, just launch everybody into the sun. But a really good defensive game for Maxey. I mean, he didn't shoot it well from 3, 2 of 6, but he had 3 steals and 4 blocks. The guy was everywhere on defense, trying to do his best to cover Lou Dort. But yeah, there was no stopping that man that night.
And speaking of not being able to stop our man, Isaac Alpert is on here. How you doing, dude?
Good. Sorry, I couldn't be on when it started. I was eating dinner.
It's fine. Don't worry. It's, again, we don't normally record at this late at night. It's really weird. I don't have a beer on me, which is kind of weird because usually if we record late, I do. But,
yeah, it's past my bedtime.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting there. It's getting there for me. You would be surprised. Yeah.
I would not be surprised. You're washed.
I really am at this point.
That's all right. It's a kid's fault. I'm not blaming you.
Yeah, it's definitely my child's fault. Okay, so, I mean, that was the OKC game. It is what it is. So now we're going to throw those two games in the trash and look forward to the game I thought we were going to fucking lose this week for sure. Dallas Mavericks, 107, Philadelphia 76ers, 98.
The fuck came on at the right time.
Yeah, right.
I'm kind of suspicious that you were just like listening in, and you're like, "All right, now we're gonna talk about the game that didn't suck."
Yeah, but just looking at it, man, like, I got to give props to Garland Zone. Tyrese Maxey played a great game, 7 of 12 from the field, 6 assists. You know, had 5 fouls, but I think he was kind of might have been trying to help out the home team a little bit with that. But I love that kid so much, dude. He's like literally like, the house he grew up in is like five minutes away from my parents' house. So it's really cool.
That's freaking sick, dude. Callie Kaplan actually wrote a little profile for him that came out on Friday morning.
I read that.
That was really solid.
That was cool. I loved it. You know, Seth Curry, you know, being Seth Curry, missing him. yeah. Obviously Tobias Harris looked like a world beater for a little bit. You know, 6 of 8.
I mean, he was reunited with Bobby, so like,
yeah,
it gives him his superpowers. Yeah. It's like the Wonder Twins.
And obviously, like, so obviously we got to talk about the big 45-minute elephant in the room, which is the break that happens. What were you guys doing during that break?
Nothing. I was
sitting there, staring in awe. I was like, this had to happen on national TV. Really?
on a game that started at 9 o'clock, like our time,
right?
Which is 9:15 our time, which is like, what the fuck are we doing? I literally was like sitting there and I was like, what can I talk about on the timeline? It's like, so it got to the point where I was, you know, going back and forth with Bobby Corrala on knock knock jokes, asking people to show me their shoes. I know, Isaac, you contributed to that, which is awesome. I am not rich. I know how to find really good deals on shoes.
Not rich. I'm just a savvy businessman.
Yeah, but you know, that game, I mean, like, that 45-minute break, I, like, God bless Luca for being honest and being like, hey, like, the rim is off. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's great.
The thing that made me laugh the hardest is that, like, he said that after a shot that I believe he made.
Yes.
He made it. Yeah, he made a three.
The only three he made that night, actually. He's 1 for 6. but I saw it and I was like, great. And then obviously,
maybe, like, you shouldn't fix the rim, Luca.
It's like, obviously, 45-minute break or 45-minute, that, and then extra 5 minutes. So basically a 15-minute break in between, like, I think we were still in the first.
Yeah, no, so it was still the first quarter. It was like, three, it was 4 minutes hour into the game.
Yeah, it was so crazy. Quick. So, like, doing that was great. Came back. So that first half was just like
nothing else mattered in this game but the Luka dunks. Double dunkage. Like, this man is in his prime. He was never fat. I will fight the haters who ever said that Luka was fat. Luka is the perfect size, and I will not have people body shame my perfectly sized adult son. I will not say if he's large or small or medium size. He's perfectly sized. Whatever size he is, Luka, don't let the haters shame you. And he just absolutely annihilated people. I don't know. I got to ask y'all, because I saw this question posed on Twitter. Which has been Luka's best career dunk? Was it the one that he did right in who was Drummond's face? Or was it the one that should have given the Mavs the win in that late night game in Denver on the road in the closing seconds? Because I actually lean towards that one just because of the timing, and he basically did it on two people while being sandwiched, and it probably should have won the Mavs the game. But this one was also really dang good.
It's the Denver one. I mean, he dunked over two people. Like, that alone makes it, forget every other situation, he jumped over two people and dunked. Like, that's better. But the one over Drummond was so funny because, I don't know if you watched the overhead angle, but Drummond did like a spin move off a marquee screen. So he looked all cool just to get on a poster by Luka. Like,
yeah. Like, you know, that is true. I would definitely give it to the Denver one, even though it makes me mad that we lost that game. But
I was mad at losing that. I'm like, Luka just did that, and y'all lose this? Like, you can't do that.
I mean, really, that's like Luka's career here in a nutshell. For like 30% of the time. But that dunk was those dunks were fucking awesome.
This one felt more vicious. Like, he did, it was more impressive than the other one, but this one felt more like kablam. The other one was
also it seemed like these ones were like momentum shifters, you know, where I was like, okay, cool, like, you know, whereas like obviously the ending of the Nuggets game was, you know, we lose, but like for this one it was like, oh shit, like I think we were down by like four, you know, for the Drummond one, and it was like you brought some with the two, and I was like, holy shit, this is awesome, like we might be able to do this. Again,
that
crazy game.
It was at home, so you get the reaction of the fans.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say though, I do give it up to the coaching staff because, you know, switching to a zone in the second half was fucking genius.
Not that it wasn't the smart move, and it, like obviously it worked, but I was surprised that anything stopped Joel Embiid that night. I mean, the moves that he was doing, it's not just how much he was scoring. I mean, he had 14 free throw attempts, all super well-deserved. He had 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, put up 27 points, was 2 of 5 from 3. And I believe one of those was like a step back. And I'm like, this man is hitting step back threes now? Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, if Joel Embiid's hitting step back threes, like, literally just call the game. Just it's like it's over. It's over. This man is unreal.
It's just incredible that like holding him to 27 points is like a feat. Like a, like, you know,
it is
good,
right.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's like holy shit. Like everyone else is like, oh fuck, it's 27 points. You know? But for Embiid, it's like, yeah, bro, he did it.
If there is one like, oh my God, he kind of sucked at this. I mean, he still only had one turnover, which is kind of insane. But yeah, he was 7 of 17 from the field. Like, you take out the 2 of 5 from 3, and he's what, 5 of 12 from 2? Like, it's not a super efficient night for a guy who's pretty efficient. And he is like on one. This is like the best basketball of his career. Man, if only he had some other like second all-star level talent with him. I mean, right? That's never been a thing, but like, I don't know. Somebody,
Tyrese is right there, man.
I mean, somebody who can like, someone who can like, you know, push the ball up really fast in transition and like defend the quicker perimeter guys. And, oh, yeah, you know,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if anybody like that even exists, but
you know, but yeah,
somebody who's afraid to dunk.
great game. I just can't believe like that's. It's funny because like my wife went to sleep, you know, like after the first, because like the game was like, usually you should try to stay up, stuff like that, but the game seemed to be out of hand at the half. Obviously, we, you know, the first quarter took an hour and a half basically, and so she went to bed. And the next morning, like, she was like, hey, how's the game? And I was like, we won. She was like, what? And so literally, I went to Panda Hank's YouTube account and, like, knew the highlights were up there already. And so I was like, watch this. You know? And I was like, Luka dunked twice. She was like, no way. And I was like, you watch the highlights. She's like, what the fuck? And I was like, I know. Like, it was great. So, yeah, Panda Hank is always my go-to. Especially if I just want to relive like just a high, you know, of the game. So
it just felt like the ultimate Luka FU game, like the one up you game. I mean, 33 points, 13 rebounds, 15 assists, and only three turnovers. Like, yeah, 15 assists to three turnovers is insane.
Stupid. That's a fucking, and yeah, like, it's a stupid ass ratio.
Even though he wasn't hitting it from three, obviously 1 of 6. Like, yeah, the guy was driving it to the paint. He was getting efficient buckets. He was getting a lot of buckets, drawing a lot of attention, getting things for his teammates. And, you know, they were cashing in at a pretty decent rate. I mean, the three-pointers were not falling for this team. The fact that the Mavs won by 9 points and they shot under 30% from three as a team is just kind of absurd to me.
And very fun fact, but the entire starting lineup – scored in double digits, which is super cool. Yep. I love seeing shit like that. Dwight Powell going 6 for 6 from the field. Amazing. Like, just an
Dwight,
overall great
is
game.
Dwight Powell the Joel Embiid killer? My column.
Like, I mean, hey, you know, like, could be. So now we go to tonight's game. A game I think a lot of us
like really, something about this game fast. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. There is a Hawks space right now on Twitter that is getting overrun by Mavs fans.
Oh no, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Well, I don't see anybody on it. Oh yeah, never mind, I do. Holy fuck, 1,000 people on this
game? Yeah. Yeah, I think most of them are Mavs fans, or at least half. Like, there was a Hawks fan in the beginning. Like, why are there so many people here to watch our downfall? It's like, oh no.
Nine. Oh my God, bro. There's like fucking 1,000 people in this thing.
Let me tell y'all why.
I mean, so anyway, you know, going about this game, that just happened again, we're recording after the game. There are a lot of people in this thing. So I keep looking at it. I'm like, holy shit. Great game. Despite the fact that the refs were absolutely in on it somehow, some way. You know, if we had lost that game, our Cuban's fine would have been fucking astronomical. For after game comments. Again, that was one of those games where, like, starting off slow. I actually had in our Discord channel, had a few people being like, hey, like, people who come in late and they're like, hey, how's the game so far? Blah blah. And it was like, started kind of slow. Like, both teams' offenses not really running very well. The Mavs mostly because our offense is not great anyway, and the Hawks because they're actually playing a team that has defense. So you know, doing that, and all of a sudden, like, Luka starts getting these fouls, and it's like, what the fuck is going on? The dude had how many fouls in the first half? 4, I think.
Yeah, 4.
Which was like, what, you know, 4, and then like picked up his 5th, I think, like within like 2 minutes in the second half. you know, or the third quarter.
Played 28 minutes this game.
Yeah, you know, and so had a triple double. So who's who's laughing now? But I mean, like, I mean, like, Luka did what he had to, what he could do with the minutes he had. Jalen took over when he needed to. Reggie Bullock at the fucking, like, the last, like, 5 minutes of the game, like, just unlocked, like, untapped something that was fucking awesome. You know, Dorian had a good game. Dwight had a good game. Like, again, fuck the refs. You know, like, and see, looking at the stats here right now, it definitely looks like our biggest need is, if we're going to trade, if we're going to do any trades in the next couple days, is going to be for bench scoring, because don't know how much longer our starters can run this up, especially considering, like, Reggie generally isn't really a starter. Dwight's been in and out of the starting rotation, you know. Obviously we're missing, you know, Tim and KP right now, so it's kind of like, you know, it's who we have at the moment. So you guys have any takeaways from this game?
Right, I mean,
just we found a way to
Reggie Bullock. That is the ultimate. Like, they found a, this is the ultimate. They found a way to win game, because I mean, Brunson was playing out of his mind. I mean, he was 4 of 5 from three. He also got into foul trouble. I mean, he had 5 fouls as well in the third quarter. I mean, even Trey Burke got to 5 fouls. Like, it's like every point guard on this team was just in foul trouble. And I was like, what the heck is this team going to do if those three, like, all can't play? Like, someone's just got to play through it and play smart. Like, that's kind of where you got to be at that point. But
it was going to be Frank running point guard. Like,
yeah. I also want to note, I pulled up the splits for Reggie Bullock. I mean, his shooting splits. So in the month of October, in 6 games, he shot 31% from deep. 12 games in November, 25%. December, 10 games, 31%. But in January, 15 games, 41% on, where'd we go? I don't think we have, 76 attempts. And in February, he is shooting 37.5% on, where'd we go? 24 attempts. So he has been shooting the daylights out of the baseball the last couple of months. I mean, you knew it'd regress to the
baseball?
The baseball? What?
The baseball.
Basketball. Sorry.
There's not too many baseball for a while, dude.
You know, he's shooting the baseball really well. He's actually going to make sure that there is a Major League Baseball season. That's how well he's shooting. Anyway.
Reggie Bullock will be the negotiator.
at this point. Like, yeah. Great game.
Lockdown overall. Defender ends the lockout.
Great game overall. Are there any things that we want to talk about before we go into questions? Because we got some good ones this week.
Can the Mavs, how soon can the Mavs pull out and take over Utah for the fourth seed? I mean, they're a game and a half back at this point. And I mean, Utah just lost Joe Ingles, I believe, for the season.
Yeah, he's out.
And they really can't do anything at the deadline. And they are who they are, which is a good team, a really solid team, a team that knows each other very well. But they've definitely got some cracks, and there's some real, a lot of pressure on them. Less so, like, there's still a lot of pressure on the Mavs, but it's not quite as intense as it is as the pressure on Utah. So can the Mavs make that jump? And then they're a little bit further behind Memphis, Golden State, and Phoenix. I don't think they're going to catch any of those three unless Phoenix start to fall back to earth. But I don't see, like, they're just a legit, really good team. All three of those top three.
Wait. Bibbs is speaking on this post game show.
Yes.
What?
Oh boy.
Oh my god.
That's definitely a hot mess express. Also, fun fact, the Minnesota Timberwolves have a better record right now than the Lakers and the Clippers. Just
Yeah.
I just thought that needed to be verbalized. That's just beautiful.
That's awesome. I love it.
Beautiful. Gorgeous.
God bless you, Timberwolves.
Alright, let's go on and get in some questions then, guys, if we shall. Hops and Hoops, who is a very, very cool dude. I met him at the Jersey retirement, actually. What's your most dramatic trade deadline prediction? Doesn't have to be Mavs related.
Doesn't have to be Mavs related?
Yeah,
Sacramento blows up. Sacramento is done. Like, Fox, Holmes, okay. Barnes, you think it's they're all fire gone. Sale?
You're calling fire sale?
They're gonna build it on Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh my god, we're having a fire sale.
So wait,
oh my
so,
god, the birding.
So do you think the Mavs get in on that?
I hope so. I want to see
or try it to anyway.
Or hell, give us
bring Harrison Barnes back. Give me Harry B back. I love that man, and he deserves better than his exit.
I have his jersey, so that'd be cool. I have his jersey, so I'd be cool with that personally. let's see. My biggest prediction, my boldest prediction, I guess, is that I think Dame requests a trade in the next couple of days.
That's bold.
I think
Dame out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but who's gonna come back? And it's like, okay, like, you know, because looking at what the moves the Blazers are making right now, it definitely looks like they're trying to get him out.
Right.
So,
I guess so.
Do you have any big predictions, Bryce?
Oh yeah, this is a scorcher, so hold on to your booties. I say that Ben Simmons gets traded for James Harden.
Like, sure. Oh really? Oh, I don't know, man.
I think that happens.
I could see it.
It makes sense. It's crazy, but it also makes a lot of sense. And the fact that it wasn't brought up. The
Nets team is missing is defense.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. they're the one team that because he needs a very specific environment to thrive. He needs a lot of offense, like a ridiculous amount of offense, like a lot of shooting around him. And he can make up for a lot of defensive flaws. Like KD's an above average defender, Kyrie, not so much. And, you know, some of the other guys on there, not so much. But, like, he can make up for a lot of those defensive shortcomings, and they can make up for his offensive shortcomings. And I think that's just a place that makes sense. And I think James Harden's kind of done with Kyrie's BS, and I don't blame him at all. This is the one blow-up of the many blow-ups that Harden has had in, like, situations he's forced himself out of. This is the one where I'm like, you know what? I don't blame him one bit for this, because that's a whole mess.
Yeah, it is.
Good. People saying he just like if he did that, if he actually has requested a trade to Philadelphia, that he's like quitting on KD. I'm like, no, he's backing out of a toxic situation. Like the Kyrie thing has been a mess. We've seen it coming, and it has continued to be a mess that will not be resolved in a good way. And I saw him having quoted like, you know, I'm really hoping to be able to play home games sometime soon. Well, then jam the needle in your arm, idiot. That's how you play home games. Exactly. It's pretty simple. It's not like you got to, like, I don't know, negotiate a peace in the Middle East or like sail around the world in a hot air balloon 80 days. No, just jam a needle in your arm. Well, get a professional to jam a needle with the right stuff in it in your arm. Not just a random needle. That's not going to do it. But just get the vaccine. Like, just nut up. Just do it and shut up. Not everything has to be a philosophical battle.
Did you just say nut up?
Yes. That's a good, I love that term. Let's love that. See, next question comes from our good friend, Juan. Juan. Okay. Juan,
who?
You know him. You know.
No, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you know who that is. these are the most serious questions I've ever asked. One, do you love me? Yes. Two, what's with American sports and rings? Like, whose idea was it? Sauron's? Great. I think, yes. Lord of the Rings reference. I don't know, bro. Like, just like ring culture is a thing here, I guess, sometimes.
Sauron is Michael Jordan.
Basically.
That commercial with Boba on is like, not all NBA players love rings, and he yells about the coasters. Like, that gets me every time. Also, so, does the fellow have to do to get a coaster with Boban's face on it? Like, I want those.
I want that so bad.
Now.
I'm cool with that. Yeah. So, you know, American sports and rings.
NBA is the worst. NBA is by far the worst. Like, it's not even close.
The worst about, like, baseball, you don't really give a shit. Like, it's not really like a thing. You know, NHL, I think they just have the fucking Stanley Cup. So it's not like technically a ring thing, but.
You all get championship rings, so.
Oh, do they? That's cool. You know, football is football. Super Bowl is what it is. So, definitely the NBA is way worse about it. I'm pretty sure, Juan, that's probably the sport you're most into when it comes to American sports. So you see all that a lot more than, like, if you're a part of like MLB Twitter or whatever the fuck it is. Mavdraft has a question.
Does he now?
Let's do a role reversal. Research one draft prospect and give me a 45-second sales pitch. And under it, Sean gave me Ochai Agbaji as my guy, the good person I need to look up.
Ochai Agbaji?
Yeah. So, how do you say his name?
Ochai Agbaji.
Ochai Agbaji. Okay. All right. So, let me look at this dude up real quick. Oh, fuck. He has, like, really big arms. Let me look. I'm doing live research right now. He's 21. Okay, so he's a quote-unquote old prospect.
That's it. I got one that I actually know about.
Okay. Oh, no, ESPN, don't do that.
Right now. Is it going to surprise you that, of course, it's Terrence Shannon?
I don't know who the fuck that is. So.
Terrence Shannon Jr., Texas Tech guard / small forward. I mean, they all play a bunch of different positions. Everybody at Texas Tech right now is somewhere between 6'5 and like 6'8 and has outrageously long arms and can kind of shoot it and can defend like hell. This guy was a Big 12 all freshman in 2019-2020. Last year he made the all Big 12 team. This guy was phenomenal last year, shot 35.7% from the 3-point line on three attempts per game, nearly 76% free throw shooting. This year he is not doing super great from three. He's had a little bit of a down season. The Mavs, gosh, I'm so used to, when I have a microphone in front of me, I'm used to talking about the Rangers. but his free throw percentage is up this year. He's shooting 84.5% from the free throw stripe, but he's under 30% from three, but he's been hurt for a good bit of the year. But the guy, when he's on, he's a defensive monster. He is a pretty good facilitator with the ball. He is very great at the point of attack and in help coverage on defense. He plays his butt off. He does very well in transition offense, and he was basically the primary distributor on last year's team, one of the more primary distributors in the last year of Chris Beard, who is an absolute baby fraud and sucks butt, and is very ashamed that he left Texas Tech for an inferior school in Texas. Seconds. Yeah. Anyway, I just had to get my plug about Chris Beard being a little bitch boy.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about, how do you say his name?
Ochai Agbaji.
Agbaji. Okay. So looking at the stats, I'm doing this completely off stats, Mavs draft, and Sean. So this year, he's a senior. He's senior. He's 21, 6'5", 215 pounds. Pretty good size. A really good size for a guard, really. This year, he's played 21 games.
Where does he play?
He plays at Kansas.
Mm.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, I had to make sure. This year, he's played 21 games so far, averaging 34 points a game, 51% from the field, 45.8. Holy shit! From 3-point, that's amazing. Free throw could lose a little work, but that's okay. You know, I don't think he'd be shooting a lot of free throws if he was in the NBA. I feel like he'd be more of just like a perimeter, you know, three point guy.
What's his free throw percentage for the year?
71%.
Okay, it's not great.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. 5 rebounds a game, 0.8 steals a game, 20.8 points per game, which is really good. I'm already sold on this guy, and I will be watching the next game maybe if I can catch it. So yeah, that's why that's how I'm selling Agbaji. So great.
He's pretty solid. I've watched him play against Tech, and he helped take down Tech in one game and also lost Tech in another game. But no, really solid score. With draft prospects, the free throw percentage is something that I look at almost more than the like 3-point percentage, because it's an indicator of how well they'll do at the NBA level. And if they can, even if they're not a great 3-point shooter in college, if they're a great free throw shooter, that usually translates to having the ability to develop a 3-point shot.
Do you have anyone, Isaac, at all? You want to talk about for 45 seconds?
Oh, I can't do it for 45 seconds. I have a women's player, if I can do that.
Yeah. Let's see the NBA, go.
Okay. It's my school shout out. I'm sorry. But Star Jacobs for UTA is currently averaging 22 points a game, and she only plays like 28 minutes a game. So I really do think she'll be in the WNBA. I don't think she's eligible this year, but next year she's eligible for the WNBA draft, and I fully suspect she'll be there.
Dope. Brings up a lot of draft picks, so take the local kid. Why not?
Exactly. I don't watch college basketball that much outside of UTA, so.
Yeah,
I just watch March Madness and whatever clips Mavs Drafts puts on the timeline. Because he knows what he's talking about.
You're hitting the highlights.
Yeah. Okay, Philip asks, could you construct a team of any former player, excluding Dirk, Luka, Nash, that could win a title?
Ooh. No. Well.
Aguirre. I put Aguirre on there.
Aguirre and Harper, that's it.
Aguirre, Harper, Kid. Blackman.
Kid. Well, Kid.
Oh. Roy Tarpley, probably. Oh, Tyson sorry. Chandler. No, fucking Chandler. I would put Chandler on there.
Chandler, sure.
Gotta have Sean Marion on there.
I think you can make a team that would contend. I don't know if they'd win a title.
But so you'd have to have, like, you know, our guards try to hit more threes.
Right.
I don't know if Aguirre will beat. I don't know, but.
Aguirre had the shooting stroke, I thought.
I haven't seen enough. All I see are the highlights, so. That's a hard one. That's a really good question, though.
He played in a different era. I mean, he played in the Mavs with the Mavs in the 80s. So, but where we go? Oh yeah, not a great career shooting percentage. 30.5% from three on 1.4 attempts per.
No, I don't want him to be stretching out.
Excuse me, 31.2% per game. In one season with the Clippers, his final season, he shot 39.8%, and the year before that, he shot 36%. So
I mean, I think you could. It's just like I'd have to sit down and actually like build this team out. And I'd want to do it like straight up from like, you know, from the starters all the way to the guys on the bench and like, you know, figure the shit out on 2K or something like that. Let's see. Next question comes from Mavs fan TBH, aka Mavs lover, asks Josh Green's potential and where do you see his role on the current Mavs roster? Josh Green, first of all, I love that dude. I think his ceiling is probably like a sixth man, who might occasionally be able to spot start depending on like the game and who's on, who's not. His current role though, for us on this roster, he's going to be a guy who can give you 15, 20 minutes. Good defense.
He's energy guy.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of his role right now.
Yeah. And yeah. if he can develop beyond that, that's great. If this is where he's at and he just is really, really good at excelling at this, that's great too. You know, it's like you need guys like that. So
if he can hit threes, that's what changes everything. Right now, he's only playing like, I mean, like I'll pull up his per 36. That's a better look, but he's hitting only 31% on his threes. I mean, last year it was only 16%, so it's a jump. But in his per 36, he's got 2.1 threes per game. So it's not a huge rate, but he's chucking them up there. He's feeling kind of confident in it. And the playmaking leap he's made this year has been very impressive. I mean, he's averaging 1.3 assists per game in under 13.5 minutes. Like, he's a legit decent playmaker. He's also hitting 60% of his twos, a lot of close shots, and providing a whole lot of hustle and rebounding pretty well for a guy his size and, you know, for his low minutes rate. I like the guy. Obviously, Desmond Bane would have been nice to pick there. Like, obviously, that's the elephant in the room, and it would have been nice to pick him with, you know, the 31st pick or whatever. But, you know. It's fine. Didn't happen. Josh Green should be a solid player. If he can hit threes, I think he can be a starter. If not, then energy guy and defensive clamper is pretty much his upside. So, hope he gets those threes.
Got anything to add, Isaac?
I think that his ceiling is... I think he could start on a team and be a decent starter, maybe fifth or fourth best player on a team. That's his ceiling for me. And in his role now, I want him to play a little more. I think he's like y'all said, he's an energy guy, but his role is kind of defined on this team already.
I do lucky that he's actually getting minutes this year, whereas last year, it's like, I mean,
yeah. I mean, last year was weird anyway for everybody.
Last year was weird for anybody. He's only playing two more minutes per game, but he only played in 39 games of the full season. So,
yeah.
He did start five games though, so He's about to pass with the next game. He's going to tie last year in games played. So
cool. So next question comes from Jennifer. Your reaction to Luka's dunks and the whole drama with the rim. We kind of talked about this earlier. The rim stuff was kind of funny for a little bit, and then I got tired, and then it became funny again. Luka's dunks are awesome. I'm sure those will be on part of his highlight package when he goes into the Hall of Fame. So that'll be cool to look at.
Yeah.
What do you guys, any guys have anything to add?
Luka's comments on ESPN were funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it when Luka dunks. I think it's fun and good. Fun.
Yes.
Twitter user at Ultralight Beam asks, how's your face hole, bud? What does that mean? Is that from something? Should I know this?
Tim? I don't know. I think he's just asking, how's your face hole? Is your face hole okay?
It's going pretty good. It's pretty good. Thank you for asking. Grant Solly asks, what moves, if any, should the Mavs make? Obviously, you know, ahead of the trade deadline this week. I think if we do make any moves, it's not going to be anything flashy or big. I don't think this year is the year to really do that. Mostly because I don't know, like, what Nico's strategy is. And I just feel like there's probably more opportunities. There's probably more opportunities, you know, in the offseason / up to next trade deadline. So, I think if we do anything, I guess we try to trade for some bench scoring, you know. Can never have too much of that. So it is what it is with that, really. So I don't know about you. What do you guys think?
I don't think I agree. There's not going to be. It's such a. I really like. I've criticized the Mavs front office a lot, but I really don't envy the position they're in right now. Like they got to make some tough choices, and there's a lot of back and forth between. Like, is the team as currently constructed good enough to actually contend, or because you got to decide right now, and you got a lot of decisions to make, and like there's a lot of long term ramifications of basically just Dorian and Jalen. Like, what you're going to do with them? Losing them for nothing is like untenable. Trading them now for scraps feels bad. Locking them into a long term contract that they might not live up to also is dubious. Like, there's not really any good answers right now. I really like how both of them are playing. Dorian hasn't been playing as well as of late. He's been, like, fine, but not quite the level that just, like, the last week. And every game is super important for both of those guys from here on out and for the Mavs to make decisions. So, I mean, they do need a little bit more scoring, but I really think an offensive surge is coming with the regression to the shooting mean for these guys who have been shooting just terribly. Like, Porzingis isn't going to shoot under 30%. Like, sorry. It's just going to... I mean, we're seeing it happen with Reggie Bullock right now, and hopefully it'll happen with Porzingis, should he ever get healthy. But, like, Porzingis is a better shooter than that. Dorian's a better shooter than that. Like, Maxey hasn't been shooting super well. Bullock is shooting way better. Like, he is a way better shooter. Like, of all those guys, I think Bullock's probably the best shooter. And he had been shooting the worst. Well, I think, actually, Porzingis might have had a lower percentage than him. But still, like, they're all going to get better, I think. And hopefully a healthier Luka in the back half, which I think we're getting, hopefully. Will also help improve that offensive rating, which has been well below what the Mavs should be with a top five, top three offensive player in basketball in Luka.
Right.
All right. Let's see. Next question comes from Jose. The Rock or Eddie Guerrero? Back when Eddie Guerrero was alive, Eddie Guerrero all the fucking day. I love that man. and that was a wrestling. I haven't watched wrestling since he died, actually. So. That was a long time ago. Smiley Cuss asks, if the Mavs acquire CJ McCollum without trading Brunson, who goes on the bench and who starts?
Brunson goes to the bench.
First off, what the hell? There's no way they acquire CJ.
What if they do?
Then CJ starts. But
yeah.
Like,
yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think CJ gets a lot of flack. He's a really good player, and people just they criticize him because of what he can't do, but what he can do, he's a really good player. And it's a weird fit with him and Dame. It always has been kind of weird, but like you do need, obviously, like we've seen, you need a second quality playmaker slash scorer when your primary guy gets like double teamed every second of every day because they're so stupid good. And that guy needs to be able to actually punish defenses for doubling that primary guy. Yeah. And CJ can do that consistently. We're seeing Brunson do that fairly consistently, not quite to CJ's level, but still, I don't see a scenario where that happens, though. I don't think CJ would be putting here because that's a huge contract. And again, the Mavs are in cap hell. And
yeah,
like,
yeah, it is what it is. Yeah. Next question. I love this question. Max McGee asks, would you rather fight 100 Luka-sized Dirks or one Dirk-sized Luka?
One Dirk-sized Luka. There's not that big a difference. And 100 of them, like, it's not like a, you know, like a duck-sized horse versus horse-sized duck. Where right. It's a pretty sizable gap. Like, it's like, what, 3, 4 inches? 5, 6 yeah. inches? Maybe? If that?
No, I mean, Luka is 8 inches taller than me right now. Like, so 8 inches or a foot, it's not that different. Like,
100 of them. Good God. I can't take one of them. I can't take one of a normal sized person. God. Let's
see. Next question comes from.
If the Dirk sized Luka also has Dirk's bad knees and legs that he's been talking about lately and how badly it hurts, then like,
maybe I've got
a shot even then. No, I'm not saying that to bash. I'm saying it makes me sad. And also the comments of him saying, I wish I retired 2 years earlier. Dirk, if you're listening, which I know you are a longtime listener, if you retired 2 years earlier, then I wouldn't have been able to cover the year that Luka had his first year in the league and your last year in the league. So for me personally, I'm very glad that you didn't retire 2 years earlier. So for what it's worth, I know that we are very close friends. And so that means probably a lot to you. So just thought I'd make yourself better.
Dirk's a longtime listener, first time caller mm-hmm. type of guy, you know?
Yeah. Let's see.
Zero time caller.
Yeah, zero time caller. No. Next question comes from Run on Pedro. They ask, would you have given a first and 2 seconds for Caris LeVert? I would have.
Wait, one first and 2 seconds?
It was a first and 2 seconds, I think is what it was.
Yeah, I think I'd do that. Yeah, I wouldn't do it the other way around, but
Yeah, I'd do it. Yeah. Getting the ad, Isaac?
Nah, I would have done it too. Yeah.
Cool.
Dallas was that a deal that was on the table? I haven't seen a whole lot of trade rumors, but
I think that Caris LeVert got traded today.
Oh,
I think for roughly that. Plus I think a Greek Rubio and I want to say like another pick or something like that. But yeah, he got traded. So like the day
get out of there, you know.
The day they were playing Cleveland, like he got traded to Cleveland, so that's fun. Next question comes from Dallas Hoops. Is Reggie on the team after trade deadline? Probably.
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't he be?
He's been good as of late, so I'll keep him.
Well, yeah, but he could be added in a. I think it's what they're asking. Will he be added in a trade now that his value has gone up to get us a better player?
Oh, maybe.
I'm sure people will start asking about him now. I mean, I'm sure they probably weren't when he was shooting 31%, but like we talked about with the huge dump. I mean, didn't they just sign him this year? It got a, what, 3-year deal? Yep.
Yeah.
I think it was 2. Was it 3?
Oh, 2, yeah.
It was one of those let's 2. See. No, it's 3. It's okay. 3. It's 3. It's 9.5 mil this year, 10 million next year, 10.5 mil in the final year.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
2023-24, which is not fully guaranteed.
Gotcha. Let's see. Next question comes from Adam. I'm curious as to what season you think the Simpsons stopped being transcendently good. My gut tells me that season 10 was the last great season. Thoughts? I would agree. Basically, whenever the Mr. Skinner was not Mr. Skinner episode, wherever that happened, that's when it started sucking after that, in my opinion. So, I haven't watched any like newer Simpsons since like the movie. So, that was like 10 years ago. So,
gosh, yeah. I remember that. I remember seeing that movie in theaters and I wasn't a huge Simpsons guy. It was funny. My parents wouldn't let me watch The Simpsons, but they would let me watch Family Guy. And like looking back, I'm like, Family Guy is so much worse for like kids. Like it's so much worse. Like The Simpsons is not bad at all. especially in retrospect, and I've been actually going through it, like, kind of intermittently, randomly, and I'm on, like, season 7, and this is, I understand, I didn't understand before, because I never watched it, but I understand now, this is a quality show.
What do you think, Isaac?
I haven't watched enough of The Simpsons to know, like, I'll watch episodes when they're on, but I haven't watched actually, enough to give you, like, a season number.
Yeah, around season 10, I think, is a good bet. It's from Marshall. That was from Adam. Connect. That comes from Marshall. Do y'all feel the season has been the most roller coaster of a season in recent memory, or am I just way too overreactive to our big wins and bad losses? I feel like social media definitely like exasperates the problem, because I remember being like, even as like a teenager, like watching like the 2006, 2007 years, and just being like, well, that kind of sucks. Okay, like, I'm over it, you know? I just feel like social media, like, being able to, like, to express your feelings with, like, hundreds of other people at the same time, it just makes things overreactive. It has felt like a roller coaster, though, like, just, like, how bad we were at the beginning to, like, where we are now, and, like, every loss doesn't feel, like, as life-altering as it might have at the beginning of the season now, because I'm like, hey, like, we lost a game, even though we're, like, some like 13-5 or 13-6, you know, this year. So I don't know. Or like this, like since like a certain date or whatever. So
like, yeah, to your point, like Mavs Twitter is very intense. Like Mavs Twitter is so intense.
Yes, we are.
But like, I really don't think like this has been that big of a like roller coaster season. There haven't been that many like terrible losses. I mean, obviously like opening night getting just curb stomped by Atlanta wasn't great. And there's another big loss against Denver. But, like, other than that, there haven't been any, like, I mean, obviously the last couple, like, the two losses that we just talked about weren't super great. Like, they weren't two great teams, and the 20-point loss in MSG was bad. But other than that, like, there haven't been any truly, like, oh my god, this team sucks so bad. Like, the Oklahoma City one overtime really got out of hand. It was a 6-point loss, but it still went to overtime. Orlando was a 2-point loss, and a lot of dumb turnovers go less dumb. It was a very atypical game. And obviously, they lost by 40 to the Golden State. But, like, yeah, I mean, they've been pretty solid this year. Like, there haven't been that many, like, oh my god, they got just, like, outclassed or boat raced by, like, a terrible team. Yeah. Like, yeah, they lost to the Clippers, who are looking like a less than good team. And they did lose one to Sacramento that sucked, but they came back like the very next game and stomped them literally 2 days later in the same place. And it was a 1-point loss, which, you know,
shouldn't have happened. This one.
It shouldn't have happened, but it happened. But like, no, I really don't think, I think Mavs Twitter has been like freaking out quite a bit. For a team that's really good and in a good place, and probably the best Mavs team, the Mavs have had since 2011. Like, it probably is.
What do you think, Isaac?
I think last year was way more topsy-turvy, because last year we were 9-14. We were the 14 seed way into the season. That was ridiculous. This, at least we've always been in the playoffs.
That one was so miserable, because that was like Knicks fans were like, every single loss was like, oh, look at the great draft pick we're going to get. Right. I'm like, oh my god, Knicks fans, you're so high on your own supply. And now look where they are.
Yeah. Okay, let's
Julius
see.
Randall's asking out. Like, that's hilarious.
Let's see. Last question comes from Rutuj. He asks, y'all need to do a Twitter Spaces sometime. Fun fact, I think I was drunk on Friday and thought about it. And I think,
you were drunk?
No, I was drunk. But I saw someone else pulling out. So I'm not going to do one. I thought about doing one today, but obviously we had to record after. And I see on Twitter right now that a lot of people are on this Hawks Twitter space. After done recording, I'm about to go through all of the clips and see stuff I see on the timeline. And I might join and see if the guy wants to let me talk. But that'd be fun. I think having Twitter space in the future would be fun. I know we used to be sponsored by Spotify Green Room. That was pretty cool for a little bit, but I don't really like the live talking stuff, only because like I like to use my, when I listen to stuff, I like to listen to podcasts already pre-recorded. or I like to like listen to music. You know, I don't like really like the live, like in the moment type of recording. Not recording, medium, I guess. I don't know. But maybe down the line, if I'm really drunk and just feeling it, we'll see. I'm sure Squish will also be there, not drunk, just high on life. And Don maybe may have had a beer or two, so we'll see. And those are all the questions, guys. I want to thank Bryce and Isaac for coming on the podcast. Kind of very last minute.
You want to, or you will thank us?
I will thank you guys.
Oh, thank you for thanking me.
Thank you. But thank yeah, you. So you know, it was you know, very last minute. Again, life happens, and very happy that both you guys came on to talk for a little bit. Bryce, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter. You can follow me there. You can follow at Locked On Rangers or subscribe to Locked On Rangers on YouTube. Pretty please. There's baseball is looking like it's going to be delayed. So any support that y'all can give the podcast would be super duper helpful. Even if you don't like baseball, you can just hit the subscribe button and it counts just the same. You don't have, they don't ask you a question if you like baseball or not when you hit subscribe.
They don't. Shit.
They don't.
Isaac, where can we find you?
On Twitter, ISAACAPPELT.
Awesome. And also you can find me at Reddit Mavericks. You can find, if you're interested in a Patreon where we host watch parties, hit me up. You know, that will be available. You know, basically it's $1 for the very, very basic one, which basically gives you access to all that. So, that's it for now, guys. So I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
And